Well, that was close. I'm glad Craig mentioned that four-letter word called snow. I'm from the Midwest, and I know how to spell it, but out here I think most people spell it P-A-N-I-C, not S-N-O-W. From the beginning, God had established the earth, he rebuilt the earth, and in Genesis we see a major theme beginning that is carried on through the scriptures, clear down through Revelation. It's a major theme beginning at in creation. If you would turn over to Genesis 2, that's about as early as we can get. In verse 15, Genesis 2:15, the whole section is verses 8 through 17, but I only want this one verse. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. That was man's job, was to tend and keep it, to be a steward, if you will, of God's great creation on earth. Now, what is a steward? Well, you might think of Love Boat and the guy that was on Love Boat as the steward. But a steward is one who manages another's property or financial affairs. And we find stewards, especially throughout the Old Testament and then even into the New. Abram's steward, Eliezer of Damascus, was going to be Abram's heir if Abram and Sarah did not have a son. Laban made Jacob his steward over all of his cattle. Of course, the tables got turned real quick. Potiphar makes Jacob the steward over his household. And he had absolute authority except over his wife. And his wife had different ideas about that. Pharaoh made Jacob steward, if you will, over the whole land of Egypt. No one was greater in Egypt than Jacob except Pharaoh. You can find that in Genesis 39. There were others. Daniel was made steward, if you will, of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar because Daniel had God's spirit. And beyond that, Daniel was also made steward under the Persian king Darius. In Psalm 24, let's turn over to Psalm 24. We're talking about what a steward is responsible for. In Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." God owns the entire earth, but yet God gave mankind the responsibility for taking care of the earth, as we saw back in Genesis 2. In Psalm 50, which we won't turn to, David writes, "For every beast of the forest is mine," quoting God. "The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." God claims ownership of the lions and the tigers and the bears. In Haggai, in chapter 2, God speaks through the prophet and says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine." In Ezekiel, God reveals that, "Behold, all souls are mine." That's living, breathing beings. You, me, and your cat and dog at home belong to God. My cat may have other ideas, but God claims him or her. There isn't anything on this earth that does not belong to God, including you and I. Now, stewardship is not looking out after number one first. That is not stewardship. Stephen Covey, in his book, Principle-Centered Leadership, says this about stewardship. If people are looking out for number one and what's in it for me, they will have no sense of stewardship, no sense of being an agent for worthy principles, purposes, and causes. They become a law unto themselves, a principle. They may talk the language of stewardship, but they will always figure out a way to promote their own agenda. They may be dedicated and hardworking, but they are not focused on stewardship. The idea that you don't own anything, which we just saw, that you give your life to higher principles, causes, and purposes. Rather, they are focused on power, wealth, fame, position, dominion, and possessions. So stewardship is that we don't look out after number one. The stewardship God has given us, has entrusted to us, is for his benefit and that which he owns. He gives us wealth. He gives us talents. He gives us time. And he gives us skills to employ for his benefit and the benefit of his property. C. Simons wrote, "As to all that we have and are, we are but stewards of the Most High God. On all our possessions, on our time and talents and influence and property, he is written, quote, occupy for me until I come, end quote. To obey his instructions and serve him faithfully is the true test of obedience and discipleship." Also written, and I don't know who this person is, "There is no portion of our time that is our time and the rest God's. There is no portion of money that is our money and the rest God's money. It is all his. He has made it all, gives it all, and he has simply trusted it to us for his service. A servant has two purses, his master's purse and his own. We only have one purse, which is God's purse." Stewardship doesn't just encompass managing money or wealth for gain, but also for service, as we saw in Stephen Covey. In Leviticus 25, and let's turn to Leviticus 25, please. Leviticus 25. I know it's in here somewhere. There we are. Leviticus 25, verses 35 and 37. It says, "And if one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him, like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear your God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for usury or interest, nor lend him your food at a profit." So God says that not only are we to watch over the earth, but we are also to watch over our brethren. Stewardship doesn't end at our checkbook or our wallet. In Isaiah 58, if you would please turn there, God says something further that Jesus Christ refers to, which is recorded in Matthew. in Isaiah 58, verses 7 through 9. God reveals through Isaiah. Is it not, he's speaking of fasting here, but even more so. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." So, stewardship doesn't end at our checkbook or our wallet. Stewardship ends when we take care of the earth and others. Unless you know something I don't, man's stewardship of earth hasn't yet been revoked. Jesus gives us examples about the talents and the pounds, and that we are to bring a profit to our master, to steward his money, to increase, to serve. Jesus didn't reject the poor. He didn't reject the lame. He didn't reject the blind or the leper. He addressed their needs, even to breaking tradition by touching a leper. He addressed their needs. Nor did Peter or Paul reject these people. Neither should we, if we are to follow in their footsteps. So let us, the stewards of God's great blessings and salvation, administer the wealth, the talent, and the opportunities he has given to us, willingly and wisely, with benevolence.